Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Grace River. Really glad that you're here this morning. It's a big Sunday here, and super glad that you're here. Welcome. It's Super Bowl Sunday. They call it Football Sunday. I'm not supposed to say Super Bowl. We've got to pay rights for it. Anyways, we're in trouble. Anyway, so, but I'm really glad that you're here. Welcome. I hope that whoever you're cheering for wins. I hope both teams have a good time. It's been great. This is a little break for us, you know. We kind of got spoiled as Chiefs fans, and so I'll leave it to that, you know. We got good representation here, and so got some Seahawk fans. Congrats. That's great. Good job on that. Way to go. Happy for you guys. It's a one-and-done deal. That'll be great, so that's good. And I'm teasing. No, I'm glad you're here. Any Patriots fans in the house? Want to be polite to you if you are. Okay, I'm a little closeted Patriots fan sometimes. I like Drake May. Anyways, I'm for you. I'm with you. Don't be mad at me. Okay, Seahawks fans, we're going to do this together. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good time today. Hope that you eat a lot of calories. And I wish it was a bank holiday tomorrow, right? It feels like it should be. But anyways, really glad that you're here. Welcome. Today is not only Super Bowl Sunday, but today also marks an important mile marker in the life of our church as we conclude the Generations Initiative. If you're new to Grace River, the last 2 years we've been doing this initiative called Generations, and it allowed us to expand as a church. We were growing like crazy, and we needed more space so more people could meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so, very exciting. And, you know, last Sunday we baptized 13 people. That was pretty cool, yeah. And we're going to baptize more people this year than ever before, and so we're really excited about that. We're excited about all the great things that God's going to do in 2026 here at Grace River, and you're a part of that, so thanks for being a part of it. And as I share stuff today, my hope is, in the first part of my sermon today, is that I wouldn't, like, get you bogged down like a guy who went on a really cool vacation and showed you a bunch of pictures, and you were like, yeah, who cares? My hope is that you watch, and you kind of, like, see some of these pictures, and you're like, wow, it's kind of crazy what God did here, because honestly, like, what God's done over the last 2 years at Grace River, and really in our 11-year history, is nothing short of the power and the presence of God. Like, there's no way we could have done this on our own. It's pretty amazing to think about. But here's the really cool thing. This last initiative that we did called the Generations Initiative, I'm really excited because you clapped earlier and you cheered. The next slide I'm going to show you is reason to clap and cheer, too. As a church, 256 families participated, and we raised $1.2 million the last 2 years. Isn't that cool? Yeah, pretty amazing. I'm blown away by that, and we set that out as a goal 2 years ago. I wasn't sure if we were going to hit it, to be honest. The power of God made that happen. Your involvement, your participation made that happen. I'm really grateful for you. Thanks for giving back in this kind of way. The last time we did an initiative like this, 100 families gave to it. And that was the initiative we did to move into this building right here. And so to over double that, to have 256 families participate, that was the number that was the most important to me. Was, I mean, whether we hit the goal or not, which we did, and that's amazing, the number one thing for me would be participation, that people would be involved in it. Because at Grace River, we don't have like a sugar daddy, right? There's not like one person that's fine. We don't get bailed out by the federal government. There's nothing like that. Like, we don't have that. And so it's pretty amazing to see what God's done. And I want to kind of show you, take you on a brief little tour of what construction was like, what we did in the last 2 years, what this place used to look like compared to what it looked, because this may be your first week and you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea all this took place. Or maybe you just started coming like 4 months ago, and or maybe you've been coming for 4 years and you just forgot. Like, for me, I was scrolling through pictures last night and I was like, man, I forgot that this place used to look like that, and I practically live here, right? And so, not really, I have a house. But anyway, so this is the auditorium 6 years ago before we moved in. So this is, you're sitting in this space right now. This is what it looked like before it became a church auditorium. It was a call center for Art Van Studios. And so this is what it looked like. You can even see the columns. The columns are so annoying. If you want to know what my pet peeve about the building, columns, right? Some of you are like looking behind one right now. Just come early next week and get a different seat. That's all I can tell you. Because to remove these things, it costs around $200,000. So we're going to keep the columns for now. Anyway, so unless we have a sugar daddy that wants to take care of that. So all that to say, that is the column. So this is our very first, this is a picture of our very first Sunday in the space. A lot has changed since then. We thought the white background would be fine. Like, we thought that'd be really cool. And so we didn't want to even paint it. It's kind of crazy what we moved in with. We had a portable stage back then. I mean, we had literally almost nothing. Like, we used the same gear, and we still actually are using a lot of the same gear that we used when our church was portable. In fact, the speakers that are flown, all the different things that you see, there's plenty of things that we actually use, some of the same lights even, from day one at Grace River. So we took all the stuff that made us portable for like 4 or 5 years at portability, and we just put it up in the ceiling here and make it work, because we just don't need to be all that flashy, right? But that's the first Sunday. Here's what our lobby used to look like. This is what previously the lobby had a drop ceiling. It was way less echoey. By the way, we're fixing that soon, and so we've got a company coming out that's going to install some sound dampening in the lobby. But this is what the lobby was packed all the time. It was really actually kind of difficult to move around from time to time, especially down our kids' hallway. It was super packed, and so that was that. We had BJC as a tenant. And so next door, where Kids Ministry is located now, there was a built-in tenant, BJC Hospital. When we bought the building, Fort Zumwalt Zoom Care met there, or they didn't meet there, they rented from us. And so their rent was $10,000 a month. Our mortgage was $10,000 a month. In fact, $9,750 a month was the mortgage. And so it's amazing. We were actually making $250 off them. It was $250 a month. It's kind of crazy. But it was an amazing partnership, because literally their rent paid our mortgage. It was a great thing. And so here is what BJC looked like whenever we took it over. Because we made a decision a couple of years ago as a church. We prayed about this together. And we made a decision that we would ask them to move out, which I thought was crazy. Because, dude, $10,000 a month, that's a lot of guacamole, you know? That can actually Super Bowl party, that could buy a lot of guacamole. But the reality is that's a lot of funding, right? That's, if you times that by 12, that's $120,000 a year. And that was a crazy decision that we made as a church. But we made a decision that we are not in the property management business. We're in the people business, right? And so that for us, we want to help influence and change people's lives, not only here on earth, but for eternity. And so we made that difficult decision to have them move out. I remember the day that all their x-ray machines got moved out, like they had to tear out a wall to get their x-ray machine out. I remember the day they loaded all that stuff up on a U-Haul truck, and I was like, I'm an idiot. This is the craziest thing we've ever done, right? And so this is what it used to look like. It was a lobby, and then we demoed the space. So this is what the space ended up looking like after we demoed it, and so we took it all the way down. There's more columns. You can see them, right? We took it all the way down to the columns, basically, took all the studs out and started fresh. And now what you see in kids' ministry is what this used to be. So this is what this was. A couple years ago, we actually had families come and pray. And some of you came and prayed and wrote down, there's TJ and Sam. They wrote down, like, people's names. This is what gets me, is that we wrote the names down of people to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And you know what's amazing is that two baptisms ago, somebody walked up to me and said, hey, that was my cousin. I wrote her name down and she got baptized. And I thought, dude, that's amazing, right? And so, like, for me, those stories never get old. Next picture is Addie, one of our kids' ministry kids. And, man, it's just cool to see. And she's grown. It's because 2 years goes by, she's 2 years older, right? And it's just great to see her faith grow. And it's really an amazing thing. And then we had our Generation Sunday 2 years ago, where as a church, around 100 families committed to give back to this initiative to expand. The idea was that we would take the auditorium and grow it by 120 seats, and that we'd take the parking lot and grow it by 120 spots. In fact, I'm going to show you pictures of the parking lot here in a minute, but 100 families, I think it was 125 families committed to giving back to God when it initially started. But what's amazing, I reported earlier, 256 families gave to this. So we doubled the amount of people that were participating in it from the beginning. Here's the parking lot groundbreaking day. We were a lot tanner. I was stronger. All right. But anyways, so I was flexing. So anyways, so that's that. We bought this land 5 years ago, and I remember thinking when we bought the land, someday Grace River will build a parking lot on it. And I hoped that I was gonna be here for that, like I really did, but I thought someday some other pastor will raise the money and they'll build a parking lot on it. And what's crazy is it wasn't a someday thing. It's like the church grew really rapidly. And can you imagine right now? In fact, let's just ask you, how many of you are parked in the back parking lot right now? Cool. It'd be a problem, right? Like, it'd be a major issue if we didn't have that parking lot. And that costs $500,000 to build, just so you know. Like, and I know some of you are, like, annoyed whenever we talk about money in church, but I'm going to tell you straight up, okay? If you didn't have a place to park right now, you'd be mega annoyed, right? And so, like, I'm just telling you, like, it costs money to do stuff like this. And at the end of the day, it's about impact. I don't care about asphalt. I could give a care less about that, right? And the water retention that made it all happen and whatever. What I am passionate about is stories of people that are meeting, knowing, and following Jesus. And that doesn't happen if they don't have a place to park or a place to sit or a place to take their kids in kids ministry. Like, that's just the facts, right? So, like, it's pretty amazing to see what God's done. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity. In fact, can we give everybody a hand for giving back to this? What's amazing about generations is we're not done yet. Here's the really exciting news is that there's more to do here, and because there's more people to reach here. When the church was 3 years old, this pastor friend of mine asked me at a pastor's lunch, he said, "Chris, when's enough enough for Grace River?" Back then, we were portable in a YMCA, and we'd just gone from one service to two services. And this friend asked me that question, and I was like, dude, he kind of stumped me because I thought, we're just getting started. What do you mean, when's enough enough? I think this pastor was a little complacent, and he was fine just like cruising with his church and whatever. And I just said, dude, I think you're asking the wrong question. For me, there are people in O'Fallon, in St. Peter's, in Lake St. Louis, in St. Charles, in Wentzville, that don't know Jesus yet. And the question isn't, when's enough enough? The question really is when are they all going to get a chance to hear it? That it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done, God's crazy about you and he wants a relationship with you. And so, like, for the rest of my life, when's enough enough? Never. Because the reality is there's always going to be people that need to hear the life-saving, eternal good news of Jesus Christ and the impact it's going to make in their lives. And you're going to hear stories today about people that have met Jesus as a result of you creating seats for them, as a result of you creating a parking spot for them, as a result of them, their kids sitting in kids ministry and talking to them about God's grace on their car ride home. So I want to talk to you just for a moment about how it is a church actually grows. Because I don't know. I don't know how it works. I just look at the book of Acts. I look at the Bible. And what I know is this, is that what has happened here and what is happening here is a move of God. Now, I don't want to just say that the past has been great because I really believe the best days of our faith are not behind us, they're ahead of us. So we can look at this and go, wow, it was really cool whenever the lobby looked like that and when kids ministry looked like that and when we didn't have a parking lot back there. That was all cool. But what's next? Like, there's plenty to do, guys, because there's plenty of people to reach still. You drove here, and 8 out of 10 of your neighbors are still home right now. 80% of St. Charles County goes to church nowhere. So I don't want us competing after church people. Like, if somebody wants to come from another church, that's fine. But more than anything, I would love for us to get after those 8 out of 10 neighbors that don't know Jesus yet. The ones that are sitting at home watching the Super Bowl show, right? Like, you're still going to get to it because you're here, right? And the reality is, how is it that a church makes an impact in a community? How does that happen? How does a church really grow? Well, first of all, I think it requires the presence of God. Like, we could do all this and we could manufacture this. I mean, you could look at some different churches and you could go, well, how is that working? I don't know how it works there, but I know how it works here. Is that in order for a move of God to happen, you have to have the presence of God. And you can't manufacture that. You can't fake that. Like it has to be an absolute move of God. We look to the Bible on how things happen, but in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's at this point, he's died on a cross, he's resurrected from a grave, and he's getting ready to ascend to heaven. And in Matthew chapter 28, he says this to his disciples. He says, "I want you to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this." I love this. "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Isn't that amazing? That this promise that Jesus makes his disciples is the same promise that he makes to us, is that God is always with us. That his presence is right there with us. And I love this. "Be sure of this, I will always be with you." That's a call out to Psalms chapter 23, that even when you walk through the darkest valleys, we have a shepherd that's right there beside us. And man, right now, some of you are walking through dark valleys, struggles, difficulties, challenges. And man, I feel you. And we recognize that you're here. And I want you to know you have a God that's right there close beside of you. But we don't stop here in Matthew 28. We actually, in Acts chapter 1, the very next book of the Bible that happens after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the book of Acts. It's written by the disciple Luke. And Luke actually records the words of Jesus here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, "Once when he was eating with them," this is the narration of Jesus spending time with his disciples after he'd resurrected. "He was eating with them." We find out they were eating fish, which I wish there was better things on the menu. I don't know. That's what they're eating that day. And he says this to his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem," because they're spending time in Jerusalem, "until the Father sends you the gift he had promised and I told you about before." So what gift is he talking about? He's talking about not a new pair of gloves, not a new car, right? Not a new job. The gift that he's talking about is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus knew that in order for this new church to grow, it wasn't going to happen without the presence of God. It wasn't going to happen without the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? And so when I think about what God has done here and what he's going to continue to do here, it can't be absent. You can't have a move of God without the presence of God. And so what's amazing about the presence of God is that you and I get to live out the presence of God every single day. Like my hope is that you come to church and you feel the presence of God. That's my hope. My hope is that later today you feel the presence of God in your life. That on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, as you follow him, that you feel God's presence in your life. Because it's real. It's not made up. It's not something that we say so you can feel better about yourselves. That we really believe that because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his resurrection, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have God's presence with us. If you know Jesus and he's the Lord and the Savior of your life, you have God's presence with you everywhere that you go. So how is it the church has grown? It's grown because of the presence of God, but it's also grown because of the power of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 talks about the power of God. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. It's kind of like the precursor to Matthew 28. And you know, last words, last things people say are really important. The last thing that Jesus says to his disciples is, "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." Now, two things about power and witnesses. First of all, this word power means dynamite. So it's the same word, the Greek, this would have been written in the Greek. And so the Greek word for power is the same word called dynamos, which is the same word that we use for dynamite, which means that this power of God is not just like, hey, it's power, like turn a light switch on power, plug something in power. It's like light a fuse and you better run because something's about to blow up kind of power. Like that's the power, like it's explosive power, the power of God. And you'll be my witnesses. This word witness also means this. It's not just that you saw something. It's that you saw something and you couldn't stay the same afterwards. That you couldn't help but to tell the world about the biggest solution to your biggest problem. You know what it was? Your biggest problem is not who the president is, okay? Your biggest problem is not your taxes. Your biggest problem is not your boss or your spouse or your kids or the people that you work with. You know what your biggest problem is? Your biggest problem is your sin. That's my biggest problem. That's your biggest problem. And you know what happened? Is the solution to that problem happened on the cross, and an empty tomb proves that it actually worked, that Jesus is who he says he is. And so now we're witnesses of that. So Jesus says, everywhere you go, you have the Holy Spirit with you. You have the power of God with you. And I want you to take this same power of God, and I want you to declare it to people that you would be my witnesses. Now, for those disciples, that message is true. But for us, if you follow Jesus today and you would call yourself a disciple of Jesus, this same message is true as well for us. That we would not only have the presence of God, but we have the power of God everywhere we go. And that we would also practice this life together. Like practice doing life together. In fact, look at this in Acts chapter 2. This is the very next chapter. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says this. They worship together. We've done that together today, which is great. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They did small groups, and they shared meals together with great joy and generosity. They practiced doing life together. And man, I'm going to be honest with you. We all want friends, and we all say that we want community. But I'm going to tell you something, man. In time of crisis, in times of challenges and difficulties, there's nothing that can heal your heart like the presence of community in your life. like Christian community, like brothers and sisters in Christ, people that you know that maybe they're 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 steps of you in faith, ahead of you in faith, like having people around you like that in the middle of struggles and difficulties is so critical. And many of you know what I'm talking about. But man, like for me, in the last month, my mom passed away a month ago. And she lived a good long life, man. She was 68 and she knew the Lord. In fact, I preached her funeral and I found a journal entry in her room. And it's on my desk now. But I was able to pull it out of her journal and preach at it at her funeral. And my mom documented the night that she gave her life to Christ. It was in 2010. It was July 10th, 2010 that she gave her life to Christ. And I was there that night. I remember it because I came home from a Springfield Cardinals baseball game. That's where the minor league team's at. That's where we lived. And she asked me about her salvation. And she wanted to nail it down. And what's amazing is today I can confidently tell you my mom's in heaven. But I would also tell you it hurts. Like it's still like, yeah, it's great to know my mom's in heaven, but like you have one mom, right? And you know, I'm in this weird regret thing where I wish I would have called her more and spent more time with her. I wish I would have done more. And I give myself maybe a C- or a D+ as a son because I was so busy with my own family and so busy building this place that I just sometimes didn't call her enough. And I regret that. Like I'm signed up for counseling in March to go and talk more about that to somebody that can help me sort that out. But like that's something that I'm like working through myself. But like I only share that because so many of you have been so encouraging to me in this journey. My mom got sick in October, and man, there was days I didn't want to preach, and there was days I didn't want to come to work, and there was days that I didn't have like a shelf to put the grief on, and I don't know, what's amazing about being a part of a community like Grace River is so many of you are praying for me, texting me, reaching out, writing cards, and just even your encouraging words in the lobby. Like, I'm just like, dude, I never would have imagined a group of friends like you that would help me do life in difficult seasons. But not only do we do life together in difficult seasons, we also do life together in really great seasons of celebration. And like, God wired us up for this. And so my encouragement to you is this: if you don't have good Christian friends, get some. Because I'm telling you, it will change your life. And the fastest way to do that is two things: serve on a team or join a small group. You'll find friends. If you stay faithful to serving on a team, joining a small group, I'm not telling you you're going to find your best friends, but I'm telling you this: you're going to find some friends. And I'm not saying you're going to find normal people, because there's some, you know, there's always that ratio, right? You're like, wait a second, I'm normal. Maybe, right? But dude, practice doing life with other people. Don't isolate yourself. Do life with others. The fourth thing that I see that God does and he did in the book of Acts is they participated, they counted on the participation of everyone. That church is not a solo sport. God didn't save you so you could just have a seat. Like, God saved you for a purpose and a reason and for a season. And we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the very next chapter of Acts. It says this: all the believers, they were united in heart and mind. I love that, don't you? It doesn't mean they agreed on everything, but they agreed on this one thing, the mission. They were united in heart and in mind. They had a mission. You know what the mission was? To go be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were united behind that mission, helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Like, that was summarizing their mission. They were doing everything it could. And so they felt what they had. I love that this is the participation moment. They felt like what they had was not their own. So they shared everything they had. This wasn't socialism. But what this was this: is I am the owner of nothing but the manager of everything. The car I drive, the house I live in, the money that's in my bank account, it doesn't belong to me. And the sooner you can get there, the better. Like, the sooner you can release the grip of greed in your life and go, God, you own it all, the better off you're going to be. I want you to hear Tammy's story. And I sat down and interviewed Tammy a couple weeks ago. I met her a few years ago at Grace River. She was attending. A friend named Karen invited Tammy to church. She's a sweet lady, even though her name's Karen. But and Karen invited Tammy to church. And this simple invite changed the trajectory not only for Tammy, but her entire family. And so watch this video.
Yeah, to see the God of the impossible work in their lives and go, wow, that felt like there's no way that could ever happen. And then to see God answer your prayers in that kind of way is just pretty unbelievable.
Absolutely. Great. And those prayers were daily prayers, written prayers, you know, repeated prayers. Yeah. And still have some, you know, for some of them.
I was looking back at emails, and you and I met for the first time in person at a Panera Bread, March 18th, 2022. And when I think about all this changed since then, it's pretty dramatic. But how long were you attending Grace River before you and I met in person to talk about?
So I came for the first time in October of 2021.
Great.
And I think the first time I came, I never stopped. I kept coming.
You're just here every week after that. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So from that meeting that we had at Panera, what changed? Because you had mentioned to me your desire for your husband and your kids to come to church with you. You'd mentioned that then. Did anything immediately change, like overnight from that meeting, or what took place after that?
I think I changed in the sense that I quit bugging them as much.
Okay.
And let, and based on our conversation, I started praying more about it.
Yeah.
And I, then I just invited them for my birthday.
Okay.
And for Easter. And I told them, you don't have to get me anything. Just come to church with me.
That's nice. That seemed to make a pretty big impact, correct?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And slowly they wanted to come for themselves.
They went from this benefits mom, right, to this benefits me somehow, right?
Well, I think it even went to mom will get off my back. I was always wanting them to come. When I first started coming here, and I, honestly, there'd be times when I'd see so many families come in and I would cry, you know, and I would want them here so bad, you know, just to be a family doing that together. And yes, there was a few of them that I thought, oh, no way are they going to come. You know, it's going to be a hard thing for them to change. Not just coming to church, but to having that personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Not just checking a box and attending, but they actually are following.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So Bailey was the first one that came. And tell me the story behind how that happened.
So Bailey was searching on her own as well through some things at college.
Yeah.
And so we talked briefly, and I think she was the first one that started coming on a regular basis.
And Bailey was at the time dating your son,
Robbie.
Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
And so she had some, she was questioning some things, and that's really how this thing gets started. Recently, you and I had a moment together in the lobby where you said thank you to me. And I was overwhelmed because I wanted to thank you because I was like, are you kidding me? Like you allowed God to use you. And to me, that was like, it's been amazing to have a front row seat, literally a front row seat for me, because as I stand on stage every week, I watched your aisle grow. Like I watched row after row of your family come and to have the privilege to baptize your kids and to see them take steps is just unbelievable as a pastor. And I'm proud of it and proud of what God's done.
I remember watching the other side of the church and the Hellman family was there. Yeah. And I wanted that so bad.
Yeah.
So, so bad. So when they started coming, I just, then I would cry because I was so happy.
Yeah.
You know, just so happy.
Yeah. What has changed about the dynamic of your family since this? And I realize no family's perfect, right? But what, but what would you say is the a major change that's taken place as a result of all this?
Well, I think they're just so open. I mean, so open. And I see what Jesus is doing in their lives, you know, from church, but also in their daily lives, how they are with their kids, how their kids are with them. I see it in, you know, in my grandkids.
What's been the biggest surprise in all this for you?
Probably the biggest surprise is how fast God really made it happen.
What would you say to somebody that Gave to the Generations Initiative that you just want to say to them?
I would have to say thank you, because so many people made room for my family and everybody else's family.
Yeah.
There's one song they play
that
talks about your family, your children, and your children's children, and your children's children, and my kids. I watch them, and they all cry because they know that it's true for them.
Yeah.
And now it will go on to other generations after them.
We're going to stand together and sing. Before we do, I stand together. You can stand and I'll talk. But I think we're about to sing the song that Tammy referenced in that video. And I don't know. We started this initiative and I had no idea what God would do. And it's just really cool to think about everything God's done in Tammy's life, and it's everything God's done in so many of your lives. The very family that she was talking about that she used to be jealous of is right here on my left, and they're right here on my right. And man, I just want you to know that you may think that it's not possible for your family to turn to Jesus, and I want you to know it's possible. That with God, anything is. I think it has to start with one person that just says, man, you know what? Following Jesus is worth it. And this song that we're about to sing is really about generations. It's about a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a grandfather or grandmother that would just say, hey, for us and our family, we're going to follow Jesus and let's see what happens as a result. So can I pray for you, heads bowed, eyes closed? And I just wonder today, man, would you take a step as you sing this song together? God, we love you. And God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're gonna do. God, I pray that generational curses would be broken, that moms and dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, God, that people would turn to you and declare you to be Lord of their lives. God, thank you for what you've done. But God, also thank you for what you're gonna do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing together.